2 minutes extra. That means you have 47 minutes. Two minutes is for the interpretation of one of our members, and then 45 minutes is for us to talk to you, ask you questions, and within those 45 minutes, we divide 5 minutes. You will get 3 minutes for yourself to be able to answer questions, and then 2 minutes is for members to ask you questions. If you don't understand the question, you are free to ask that member to repeat the question. You must refrain. You are advised to refrain from giving us the history, children at school, and what. You know, some things that are not relevant to your question, because you are not going to get any points. So the best thing, you must stick to your question. You just introduce the subject and answer the question, so that you must not run out of time. So the first question is about yourself. Tell us who are you, where do you come from, and where are you going, and why do you think you are a suitable candidate to be appointed as a commissioner for CGE? I take it that you've been there. In that woman ministry. So you're going to tell us more.
Thank you, ma'am, and good afternoon to the honorable members. My name is Ohara Ngoma Diseko. I'm a teacher by profession, having taught in the high school in Soweto. I have many years of being an activist. I think I am qualified to be a commissioner because I have extensive experience as an activist that is organic, coming from the township and having worked there for a very long time. I've worked with women in the community, in the churches, in the trade unions. I worked for the Federation of Transvaal Women as a founder member, and I worked for the Women's Ministries as national coordinator. In all that work, we did a lot of work with women, and we also began to engage on issues of gender even at that time. I have a very good understanding of the nature of our struggle, the patriarchal nature of our struggle, and I know and understand that it permeates the entire society in our economy as well as in politics. And as one of the things that we achieved as women in the struggle at that time was to mobilize women so that by the time we were in the process of discussing the new dispensation, the women mobilized into the National Coalition, which participated, which is in the negotiations, and which is why today we have the benefit of more women in Parliament, which was never the issue at that time. I am particularly passionate about issues of gender relating to women's empowerment as well as gender equality. Of course, women's empowerment anchors on the patriarchy as we experienced it and how it marginalized women in all its forms. And of course, gender equality is the vision that we are striving for because we have fought for a non-racial, non-sexist and democratic South Africa. Following the democratic dispensation, I joined the civil service, the public service, as Chief Director General Conditions of Service, with the task of engendering the conditions. The priority was pensions, medical aid, and childcare facilities for women. Of course, childcare facilities, we never quite succeeded because of other reasons. I won't go into that for now. But I further worked as Chief Director, Human Resource Development, which was very important because as we are opening up the public service, we are opening it up for black people, we are opening it up in particular for women, because we were beginning to engender even the public service, the composition of the public service. I won't go into the historical aspects of that. Then I went to the Department of Home
Thank
Affairs.
Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Honorable Fanner Verve, Honorable Tembewayo, Honorable Standa, Honorable Velma, Honorable Maisela Seke, and Honorable Mayor Robinson. Honorable Malule, Mom's story will be the last. Kaulang Shi, after Ulu, Mustanda. Okay, before, after, Kaula will be after you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good day, ma'am. I'm Liesl van der Merwe. I'm a member of this ad hoc committee. It is good to hear you being very passionate about the issues of women's empowerment. I think all of us here are advocates for gender equality and women's empowerment as well. In your assessment of the Commission for Gender Equality, have you been able to make an assessment on whether they have been successful in advancing gender equality, and maybe whether you've been able to pick up on some of their shortcomings or challenges that the Commission face? And also, how would you be able to help them overcome some of these challenges and constraints? I would also like to ask you whether you think that the legislative and policy framework in our country at this moment is sufficient to address gender equality. And if you were to be appointed commissioner, if you do not think it's adequate, what ideas do you have in that regard?
Okay, let me start by saying that I looked at the 10-year report.
O'Hara, may I please do this to your mic?
Do what?
Put it down a little bit. Yeah. No, not too much.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe I should sit back a bit.
Yeah, so that you can comfortable.
Okay. Okay. It didn't take my minute. Okay, just very quickly. I looked at the report of the past 10 years, 1997 to 2007, and I saw challenges relating to capacity, to resources, to budget. I looked at the 20-year review report, which coincided, I think, with the 100 years. I looked at it, and I saw the same challenges. I looked at the work of the commission in that report. It looked very focused. It's like much better than that. I think they're making a lot of progress with very little resources. However, I feel that it is really a patriarchal issue that after so many years, up to now, the challenges are still the same. The challenges relate to budget allocation, to human resources, to IT, whereas the mandate is huge. I spoke about the patriarchal nature of our struggle, which is the challenge that GCE is given. It's a huge challenge, but that challenge does not match the resources. And the nature of that challenge is very fundamental to the progress of our country, because with the inequalities, the poverty, the unemployment, which is mainly in the poorest of the poor, and we see the violence that is emerging, it is not going to be better unless the issue of inequality is addressed, and women being the targets, right? Targeting women, looking at the girl child, also beginning to say the whole child community, both boys and girls, have got to begin to be shown the new approach of inclusive societies, boys and girls being the same. But what do? We have to have projects that are specifically addressed to that. And I know one of the responsibilities of the GCE is public education. Public education is broadly referring to, as I understand it, to society. But we have to look at a multi-pronged approach, which says we are looking at the adults that are already there, but we are looking at the children because they are emerging. They are the leaders of tomorrow. And I'm glad about the ECD going to education, because then the kind of education and curriculum, which is based on the Constitution, which addresses issues of the kind of society we are looking for, addresses the patriarchal issues and the disadvantages of that, there is an opportunity for that. And I think the GCE can play a very critical role in that. The successes, I think there are many successes.
Thank you very much. Who's next?
The legal framework.
Honorable Tembekwayo.
Thank you very much, Chair. It's Dr. Susan Tembekwayo, and welcome.
Thank you.
You now discussed the challenges, but you didn't mention the other important challenge that you mentioned here under the section of the motivation, which is mindset. And then when asked, what is your understanding of the key challenges that our country faces in terms of gender equality, and how will you, what will you do to address this? And one of them, you said another challenge is a mindset of the population, both men and women. And lastly, you said, but this mindset slows down the promotion of gender equality. My question is, if appointed as a commissioner, how will you change the mindset of this population so that the process of CEG might increase rather than slowing down? And secondly, I would like to let you know that under the Personal Credential Verification Report, it is stated that the, under the records found on your ID number, the surname Ngoma Diseko, under status, they say alive, details do not correspond. And specifically, they refer to your surname. Surname match is no. So can we also get clarity on this? Thank you.
Okay, the mindset thing, let me say that I think it's actually the anchor. We have a constitution, we have legislation. It's many years since 1996. Unless we address the mindset, it's going to be very slow, which is why I spoke about starting with the ECD even as we address the adults. So I missed it. It's an omission on my part. Mindset is very important. The legal documents, the act, the constitution are very important because they create the environment, but we have to begin to dent the psyche of patriarchy, of patriarchy monopoly, the power relations that we have. I think it's actually a very dynamic subject. We need more time for that. Yeah. And the question you asked, or legal question, was the other lady. You asked about my surname. You know, when I decided Diseko is my married name, and I worked at Home Affairs, Diseko is my married name. And then I got married at the age of 22. And I just felt one time, Hormari Norman. I just felt I needed to connect with my father, Lebongo, and my family. It was really a need for me as a woman to get connected. I should not end up in my husband's family. So I'm surprised that it does not match, because all my documents are Ngoma Diseko. So I don't know how to respond to that.
Honorable Tembekwayo.
I just needed to say we would advise you to go to Home Affairs and rectify this. Thank you.
I have a card, the new one, and it's Ngoma Diseko. But I will thank you very much for notifying me.
Dumela me.
Oh, Achim.
Ma'am, firstly, I'd like to know your opinion on sex work, abortion, and the challenges the LGBTQIA plus communities are facing. How do you think the CGE plays a role in creating equality for sex work women who want to have abortions and the LGBTQIA plus? Also, you've suggested that a focus needs to be placed on mindset. And mindset change only happens through education and awareness and actually speaking to people. Now, the CGE has very limited resources. You've seen the budget. I mean, it's half of what Nkandla cost. And how do you propose, if you were in charge of campaigns and awareness and education, how would you suggest that the CGE creates this mindset change, and this education around gender identity, masculinity, power, and those constructs? Thank you, ma'am. Galibo.
Thank you very much. My opinion on sex, abortion, LGBTI. What did I say? Sex work, yes. Abortion and LGBTI. I support it. I think it's a very important aspect of equality. When you talk about equality, these are the kinds of people we're talking about, right? And these are young people. These are, all of them, very much vulnerable to abuse and exploitation and trafficking. So they actually need to be protected. I'm actually happy that the conference of Nazrek Malo, I'm multilingual, please bear with me, has actually put those on the table. The question of abortion, me, I grew up in the township, and I've lost friends to abortion because never aborta katrata with a hanger. And there were no even garages in the township when I was growing up. There were no back rooms. So I know the pain of abortion. I support it. I will never support the right-wing approach that says no to abortion because it is a fundamental right of choice. The LGBTI, those are our children, and it's really their sexual orientation. That's how they are. They are part of society. They actually must be part of society, and they deserve to be protected through the Constitution and the laws that emanate from the Constitution. I support them completely. And the CGE has got a central place to play because they must protect against all forms of inequality, of exploitation, of prejudicial discrimination. The CGE and the other law of Kenya, maybe some. I've forgotten it. Let me not go there. I've forgotten it. What else did you ask? Public education. Please repeat your question.
I asked, CGE has very limited resources. You have identified changing mindsets is important. So if you were tasked with the awareness education, how?
I think I said earlier that public education is one of the key deliverables of the CGE, right? And it goes beyond the Constitution. It's what we talked about changing the paradigm, changing the mindset, and also filtering down to the upcoming the children. I think it's actually a very important aspect of the work of the CGE, because while we are addressing historical, we actually are saying these are the kinds of values we want to inculcate in our children. So now I feel, Hore, it's got to be funded. What we need to do, me, if I were to be appointed as a commissioner, I would say let's do an organizational analysis and say when it was established in 1996, if it was 1996 and the law was put in place, what did it say must be achieved by this smaller nyana entity with such a huge, huge transformational agenda. Now, I would say, let's do that. Let's sit back and say, where are we now? What did we want to achieve? Go read the organizational analysis and begin to really make a strong case for review of the budget. I worked for women, and I know it was not even 100 million. It was less than that. Very embarrassing. If you are passionate about the changes that must have happened. So now I feel I would want us to do a review.
Your time is up.
And maybe begin to address sponsorship, issues of sponsorship. I beg your pardon, Chair.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good afternoon, Mayor Ngoma Diseko. I'm Mrs. Maluleke Buitumela. Ma'am, you worked in the women department in the presidency office. I think you have got passionate about women issues. But there's a problem with our CG offices. They are located in provinces, but mainly they are at urban areas. Then just tell us, how will you ensure that a person in a village in Khanyisa is aware of the work of the CGE? How will you ensure that CGE is visible even in deep rural areas? Thank you, Chair.
Very big question, especially because CGE Kaboyona keeps saying that they are going to address the poorest of the poor. They said that was their target. And where do you find the poorest of the poor and the budget and the resources? And I know that there are offices in the provinces outside of there, but those offices, where are they? And for now, related to organizational analysis, how are they capacitated? Are they fit for the task? How are they? So it's part of that kind of analysis we need to do. Kakor, we really need to have a footprint in the rural areas. All of those places we need to reach. Otherwise, we are elitist. So this analysis I'm talking about is actually quite crucial. Now, I think it's actually a strategic move because it happens after 20 years and it says, let us look at ourselves differently. We don't want to, the CGE must never be closed. It must never, because the need is there. There is backlash, there is rising, let me not go there, but it's important, it must be there. But what must happen is that it must be strengthened. Enough budget, so that we can have the outreach. If we have the funds, we will develop the outreach programs. You know, when I was at Women, we tried to have dialogues. We were hampered once more by budget. And yet it's in the presidency. What is the irony there? It's because of patriarchal nature of our budgeting. No gender responses. I think maybe we'll talk about it another time. But I think we actually need to say we want to do things differently. My change in land. It's a new dawn. Let it show. It must show also in the resources. But the commissioners themselves must know what they want, must be committed. We, if I'm part of that, we'll start by saying, why are we here? And redirayan. And working collectively with yourselves, the committee, whichever committees, mobilize all the women, like the women My National Coalition were mobilized to force those men to have women as parliamentarians, you know. I think we actually have to reflect together, where are we and what are the challenges. Don't make it personal, because this patriarchal thing, it seeps through the entire society, politics, economy, society, our education, everywhere, our schools, everywhere, our education, our, you know.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please stick to proper English, not Asikasi.
I beg your pardon.
Those who have but do not know how will always be victims of those who do not have but know how. Those who have but do not know how will always be victims of those who do not have but know how. All right? And what would a nation be first instilling the youth? Right? We agree. Now, we talk about patriarchy, which is a societal thing and which leads to this inequality, gender inequality, because it is a relationship of resources. It's a relationship of power. And those who bring bread on the table decide how many slices it must be cut into and who gets what. Now, you can't legislate for equality, but you can change the mindset of the people by giving them the proper education, especially from ECD. As an educator, I'm talking to you as an educator, because it starts there. And if you miss them at that stage, they are finished. And if, you see, during our time, we were designer dunderheads. You know why? Because they made sure that we don't even have enough food to develop our brains. You know, our parents were sweating for peanuts, and they spent half of their money traveling and half of the time traveling, and we became designer dunderheads by design. Because if you don't feed the children at an early stage, up from birth up to 9 years old, their minds are destroyed, and you cannot... You can teach them until the cows come. You can't get anything out of them. So if we want to value our nation and change the paradigm shift, we have to make sure that our children, our most precious asset that we have, are not farmed out to strangers. Because he who allows his children to be taught by strangers is jeopardizing their future. And until we learn how to do things for ourselves, we will always be victim. We can pour money into all these commissions and billions, but as long as we do not do it ourselves and we don't have a strategic objective which is all-encompassing, we are not going to achieve anything. But that is for another day. What type of education would you propagate in order to shift the paradigm and change the whole system to what we want to be? Thank you.
Yeah, honorable members, maybe let's allow our candidates to express any language they feel comfortable to put their points. Because I take it that in South Africa there are 11 languages that are taken as official languages. You know, one of the reasons that I'm saying this is that, remember, our candidates, as and when they answer questions. These interviews are on air. It's open. It's an open and transparent process. Even South Africans, even when they are answering, they are listening and they are getting educated more on what exactly CGE is doing. So it's for their own benefit. It must not only benefit us as members. In any case, English is not our mother tongue. So it doesn't mean if you don't speak English fluently or you are stupid. But for as long as we get the content and the answers that we are expecting, you know, to hear whether the person have got the understanding or no on the mandate of a CGE, because if we are going to think like elitists or bureaucrats, then we'll go wrong. So Mina, I feel as the chair that let's allow our candidates to be free to express themselves in any language where they feel, because somebody will come and speak Afrikaans. It will be just unfortunate that because there's no those things to interpret for us. Oh, okay. But I think let's do that, ne? And not distract them, because it's sometimes others, they won't feel comfortable.
Sorry,
Dr. Mai.
Point taken. And okay. I hope she understand, and she understood what I was trying to say.
So, Mina, I take it good, it's patriarchy. What you are doing is patriarchy.
By the way, I'm the only man in this committee, so I'm not that patriarchal. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Patronage. Yeah. Where's the power? Yeah, no, it's true. Sorry, Mama O'Hara.
It's a demonstration of the importance of the CGE. Thank you very much. I think what's my. Oh my God! Again, you know when I get into the meat of something, I just go all over. Please bear with me. Education is actually, 1976 was about education. It was actually about rebellion to colonial education. It was rebellion to the patriarchy of the Boer. The inspectors were all men. It's only now under the democracy that we have women inspectors, although they're not called that. I don't know what they are called. But anyway, it's because of the democracy. You know, this is a very, very, very important point. And another kind of education that I would like, the curriculum, because the curriculum is what we feed the children, and the environment where we teach them, and the teachers who come, the educators, we call them educators now. Educator actually means a person who actually understands the kind of society we want to create, not a teacher who is just instructive. An educator helps the mind of the child to develop, the cognitive development of the child. That's an educator. That's what we want. We want in schools to have educators. But that's a topic for another time. The curriculum must actually be composed of content that promotes the South Africa that we want. Non-racial, non-sexist, democratic, prosperous, an inclusive society in line with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, but never forget the history where we come from, because our history will remind you. You know, our children say, and maybe that is why Nakwengwe Matite, because they say, hey, Lunale Atobuaka apartheid, please allow me, because I'm actually coaching them. Lerato Buaka apartheid, man, there's no apartheid, but this apartheid, people bled for it. People died for it. People don't have education because of apartheid, because of the disruption of the school. So the education that we envisage is an education that speaks to the society we want to create, an inclusive society, a prosperous economy, a strong development program, etc., etc. But I think we actually... I wish the Department of Education, and I can't quite talk about it, but when I talk about education, I actually become very passionate, because I became an unqualified educator in 1972 after the strike of Tiro. And we went to schools to teach because we wanted to conscientize the children. So this is a very important topic, but maybe today it's the time. You're going to say the time is past, and maybe we should let it pause for now. But note that for CTE,
public education must include early learning programs for growing children. And intermediate, and also reach out to universities, to institutions of learning. Why can't we have programs like the voter education we had in 1994? My vote is my secret. Why can't we have programs like Ilungelo Lam, like we have, which talks about the rights, and people know about that? Why can't CGE have something like that? Why can't you commission some of these young programs, our Scheme Sam, why can't you go into Scheme Sam and begin to say we want an angle that talks about gender because it is the society we want to create? I watched The Queen. There is a line about rape, and it is so true that the victim is always blamed. Goodness is blamed because of her history, but the fact of the matter is that she has been raped. So we, as the CGE, we should actually sit down and say, what do we have and how can we leverage? So the network outside of the CGE as the organization, the network...
I'm finished. Yeah. We would have loved to hear more of that. The only thing is time, ne?
Okay. Right. Thank you, Chair. I'm inspired by your passion. We've spoken a lot about education, but now I want to speak about the culture of rape, violence, abuse. And this is something that really hurts me, especially what happens in the rural areas. And I'd like to know how you, as a potential commissioner, could influence things. We don't have enough Tutuzela centers. We don't have enough police stations or magistrates' courts. There is are few resources for people who are in distant areas. Another aspect that we need public education about is the Victims' Charter. Have you got any views about how you can deal with that and play a very positive role in getting that information to our women? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Denise Robinson, sorry,
I missed the name. Actually, I'd forgotten it. Rape violence is a scourge. It is a dent on our democracy. And the growing violence, whether at school, where there are children, it's despicable, right? The Victims' Charter is one of the tools of the democracy, the outcome of our democracy. And the question is, what resources are there to make sure that this Victim Charter reaches the rural area you spoke about? It reaches the rural village, Mamtintano or Ruihronti or Mkuze or Ekala. We have to do that because that is where you will find some of the practices, the wrong practices under the guise of culture. Yeah? Rape, ukuthwala, hushubedisa, whatever you call it. But CGE must have the capacity to do that. Runa, if we are appointed as commissioners, which is why I'm saying, and when I'm talking about a review, I'm talking about us as commissioners saying, are we going to make a difference? And if we want to make a difference, we have to start by diagnosing and saying, Kein, why was the CGE set up? What have we got? What is in the middle? Why is there a gap? What is the gap? Can we go to Treasury? Can we speak to the President and we say a new dawn for the women, a new dawn for the children? President, hear us, you know? But we have to do the work. We have to say this is where we started in 1996. This is where we are. Consistently, the problems have been the same. Underlying, it's patriarchy.
it's the allocation. I don't know what happened to the gender budget response, Yabo Prags, which was here in Parliament. What happened to that? What happened to the other processes? What happened to the National Gender Machinery? Why? We as women must start to ask those questions, and including the men who really care about the inclusive society, and that is part of our public education. We must have one approach to deal with this. But the thing here, rape, this thing of rape and violence is a serious problem. It's dehumanizing. It takes away the status of a human being. It destroys the child forever. It destroys, it shames the mother, who must talk about it. But the CGE must be able to say it is okay to talk about it, like Cheryl Zondi did, you know, when everybody was saying, where was her mother? Why did she go to the church at 14 years? You see, mama is blamed again. And who's blaming? It's the society. And it was women who were doing in support of that bad man. So we actually have to deal with that marvato. We have to start with the things that make things happen. Why are we long all the time? So let us sit down and say, this is what you wanted us to do in 1996, and this is what you promised the people. This is what you said for conference, what we are going to deal with rape, with sex workers, with LGBTI. We are going to popularize through public education about gender equality. We want all children, all girl children, all young girls who become engineers to be able to work in the mine without worrying about being menstrual or having to use a toilet. Why don't those mines make gender-responsive toilets and outfits? So the agenda is big. We'll have to actually say, to really chat it, don't bite too much, take bite sizes, but let it have an impact, whatever we do. But it starts with saying, when did we start?
Sorry,
what
your time is up.
Yes, ma'am.
Honorable Kaul, you were next, eh?
Ngiyabonga sihlalo sami. Ngixolisa ukuthi ungahloniphi lokho. Mina kwami lana kumhlonisho wami lo ngaphambili. Bengifuna ukubuza nje la kule nto ebizwa ngokuthi gender equality. Ukuthi ngabe ibhekelela abantu besifazane kuphela noma ibhekelela besilisa na? Ngikubuziswa lokhu la ukuthi manje khona la ihamba-hambe idide nomunye phansi afuna ukuthi azi. Ngishiso ukuthi uma uthi uyabheka lana iy'nkinga eziningi nakubantu besilisa zikhona, but la bantu besilisa uma uthi uyababheka isikhathi esiningi akukho la bona bahamba bayokhala khona. Ngabe mhlambe nabo bayahlukunyezwa emakhaya, akukho la bazokujima baye khona? Ngabe bayashawa? Ngabe bayareshwa? Ngoba khona iqiniso lisimsula nje. Asivume nabo ukuthi bayareshwa, bayashawa, bahlukumezwa. Abanye baze bavalelwe endlini zabo, balala. Abanye bakhishwa, bagcina umbone sebahamba emigwaqweni. Lana-ke okwesibili, khona into la engixaka kancane. Khona la kuthiwa khona ligotshwa lisemanzi. Ngifuna ukwazi ukuthi lana kubantu besilisa ayikho yini indlela okufana ngabe yenziwa lana ukuthi khona befundiswe from school, babe nendawo yabo lana obafundiswa khona ukuthi umuntu wesilisa nakho kulindeleke kuyena, nanke ama-rights abo, naye ayibone efana nawonke u-avoda lento ekugcineni. Esigcina sesibuka la umuntu wesilisa sedonse isibhamu wadubula unkosikazi wadubula ingane wazwayibulala naye ekugcineni lapho kugcine ungakwazaki ukuthi kwenzekeleni. Mina bengicela ukuthi ngelinye ilanga kuyafuneka ecaciselwe la ukuthi ngabe lo mnyango umele abantu besifazane bodwa yini na. Okunye angisezukusho kakhulu uzoqhubeka nakho. Kuyimanjena nje uma ngibuka la.
Time is up.
Okay.
Ngifuna ukuthi uqedele lo mbuzo ugcine.
Okay, ngiyabona sithando sami. Uyabona le nto yokuhlukumezeka inkuwo iningi. Manje bona nje into engiyibuka lapha yana ekuseni ngene message la lapha ePretoria eUnion Building. Kunomuntu wesifazane okhombisa naye ukuphethe kanje. Kodwa instead ukuthi kuyiwe kuyena kuhlalwe phansi kubhekwe inkinga, uthunyelelwa amaphoyisa, uyahudula uyashawa. Ngabe ngempela mpela nizosiza ngani kulento? Ufuna imfuno zakho amaphoyisa azokushaya. Ngiyabonga.
Yani ubuza, ngiyabonga mhlonishwa, and uza into eziningi ezibaluleke kakhulu. Masikhuluma ngegender, I beg your pardon, it's because he spoke so nami ngivele ngiresponde kanjalo, ngiyaxolisa. I'm sorry, I forgot I'm talking to everybody. But then what you are raising is very, very important. Gender is about men and women, right? So when we talk about, we say promotion of gender equality and the advancement of women's empowerment, right? Women's empowerment, ukuthi vele siqala on a lower planet, sesihlukumezile. We are already disadvantaged because of historical patriarchy and the oppression and all of that goes with it. But our ideal is a non-sexist society, which involves both men and women, the girl child and the boy child. So gender is both male and female. Manje, what you are saying about men being raped, being abused, being harassed, it's there. It's there. We know it's there. But the truth of the matter is, what are the proportions? Yeah, what? Which is why there is also the backlash. In the past 20 years, with the democracy and the laws that empower women and move towards an inclusive society, we see now a backlash because the men feel emasculated.
Sihlalo, ngifuna ukucace la. Ngiyamuzwa, uyaphendula. Khona la esiphambana khona, although kurong ngoba sidibate. Mina ngikhulunywa ngabantu besilisa nabo aba-abhuzwayo, abashawayo, abareshwayo. Abanye bazagcina sebegcwele emgwaqweni ngenxa yo-abhuza abantu besifazane bebakhipha endlini zabo. Omunye azathatha isinqumo sokuthi akayibulale, abulale yonke into. Angisho sesidlule, sesixoxile abantu besifazane aba-abhuzayo, sesikhuluma ngabesilisa manje. That's why sometimes ngiyacela ukuthi interpret amninikeze ukuthi naye ikhulume, kuba ngenzeka ukuthi akasilaleli isiZulu kahle umhlonishwa wami lo ngaphambili.
Yeah, thank you, Chairperson.
Interpret. Let the candidate finish, because you see, Mam Kaula, she asked two questions. She asked about what is gender. She asked about the gender, whether it gender it constitutes women issues only, or it constitutes both issues of male and female. And then she also spoke about issues of males who are being abused. So the candidate is explaining, is unpacking both what is gender, and she's also coming to the issues that Mam Kaula have asked. So when you interpret later, but let candidate finish to answer the question, because you know interjection, it's problematic. Let her finish, and then when you interpret after she has finished.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think we know I've stated what is gender, and also acknowledging that there are men who get abused, and again, it's a patriarchal issue. Men who are not employed, but feel ashamed. Who gets beaten by a woman, they feel shamed. Some don't even talk about it. And some, indeed, we get tragedies. They kill themselves and they kill their families. But the role of the gender commission in that regard would be, how do we campaign on a public education, which is part of our part of the mandate, to say that men who also get abused, they have rights. They have rights. They must report it. But we know the shame that faces a man Oshawa Umfas. We know that shame. Even a boy who gets beaten by a girl is laughed at by others. It's because of patriarchy, because men are expected to be older, and I mean to be stronger. Kodwa ke, uNamalu Ngelo has got rights to use the same instruments to report it and not to to feel ashamed. Kodwa ke, the role of CGE would be to actually highlight even that inclusive approach that says abuse is abuse. Abuse is abuse, and it must be treated as such if it is abused. I think these kinds of conversations should proceed even when there is talk about the public education program or what goes into it. And maybe it might also help to talk to the needs of the community in the MKUZE with a program that comes from Orlando West and think you can just do it there. There must be more, which means that the capacity must be created.
Unfortunately, the time
is up. Ne?
Interpreter, you can come in. We gave our candidates more time. Ne? To explain, because there was an interjection.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, the honourable member here just wanted to understand the term gender in the context of CGE, that is a Commission for Gender Equity. Now, she wanted to know as to whether does it specifically look at the females only, because in the explanation that was given,
Young Mosh, when final interpreter the answer, because remember, most of the things umam kaula because buzil, when into book final answer is to identify issues that umam kaula feel would they were not addressed, but I thought I was trying to address that. Well, now what you need to do now is to interpret a response, a candidate, to Mam Kaula, so that... Uzilema, or satisfied, ne? Who was next?
Okay. Thank you very much, Chair, and good afternoon, ma'am. My name is Grace Seke. My question is, in your own opinion, does the Commission for Gender Equality have teeth to bite? I'm raising this matter, Chair, because it has made many recommendations to government departments, government entities, private sector, which are not complying, or that are not complying in terms of the advancement of gender equality and women empowerment. So I'm just checking with you, Chair. And my other question is that, or in addition to that, Chair, are the recommendation of this Chapter 9 institution binding, according to you?
The last part, please. I missed it.
Or does the recommendations made by the Commission for Gender Equality, after its interaction with other government departments or entities or private sector in terms of their compliance, are the recommendations binding in your view?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson and Honorable Member. You know, after a while, after 25 years, institutions, it's either they become stronger or they become weaker and the mandates get diluted and they become less caring. The public service, the CGE has got very good legislation, but those two, the act for establishing the CGE and also the one against discrimination and the promotion of equality, those are very two good pieces of legislation. And they do, if we had departments that respect the institutions, it used to happen before. The Public Service Commission, in fact, the Chapter 9s were quite respected previously. I think it's a matter of dilution, etc. It's in my view, it's not so much the legislative pieces. There are a lot of pieces of legislation. The Equality Act, the Gender Commission, the Basic Conditions of Employment, and all of those. They need to be the recommendations have got to be implemented. But I do know that it ain't that thing of being very casual about it. It's also beginning to happen even to the Auditor General. It's because of a dilution somehow of the vision that we had in 1996 when those institutions were created, when the Chapter 9s were created. It diluted the whole thing. So somebody has got to bring it back. The commission has got to go back and occupy their position. Many pieces of laws don't help much if the mindset is as it lets me. People buy at the I shouldn't say that. I beg your pardon. But that's what I'm trying to say. The dilution. So somewhere, Yona, the CGE, must actually sit down and say, what is our mandate? What does the law say? Do we have the teeth? If we don't have the teeth, what must we do? There must be recommendations. We can't just sit down and be victims when we are supposed to deal with victims. Do you understand what I'm saying? We can't afford to be victims.
Time is up.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good afternoon, O'Hara.
Good afternoon.
Whether it's O'Hara Ngoma or O'Hara Diseko, to me it's just one and the same. I know who I'm speaking to. It's just two questions that I want to ask.
My story is declaring.
What?
Knowing the country.
I come from Johannesburg, man. I can't fight it.
Chairperson. I know people in Joburg. Yes. So I am saying, Chairperson, I want to ask two questions only. The issue of trafficking, Chairperson, I think it is continuing and I think it is not addressed properly. I wanted to ask our candidate, what does she think the Department of Home Affairs, what role should it play in keeping the trafficking? And then also, what do you think are the greatest obstacles facing the realization of gender equality within the church, and how can we address those? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. I think the issue of trafficking is quite serious. It's quite serious. It's not just Home Affairs, because even internally, people are trafficked. Women and children are trafficked from one province to the other. So it can't just be a Home Affairs, because if you talk Home Affairs, it assumes that we are talking about migration processes. I think what we mean, what I would say, is that we actually look at trafficking and say, what is the extent of trafficking in our country and what is the nature of this trafficking? I think part of the work of the CGE is to conduct research. And this is one scope of area that they can actually conduct research. And one way of conducting research is actually for the CGE to twin with universities and identify those master's students who can actually do some of these things. But Ibatla, I think we actually need to look at it, problematize it, understand it, and address it. But it actually needs to be addressed, because it deals with vulnerable women and vulnerable children who get stolen by a Atwalwa Bashube Disiwa across the border as well. They are stolen and by Rekisiwa. So it is quite a serious. I think the UN as well had an issue about the question of trafficking, dealing with trafficking, although another way saying that reducing, but we should actually talk about eradicating it. But how do we start? So we actually have to do it scientifically. We should do some research, some work on it, and understand what is happening there, so that you can do the appropriate measures. The Home Affairs is one part that deals with movement of people, but there are also other parts which actually movement of people from outside, whereas trafficking also happens within the country. Baba Lande Lalin, Baba Shubedise Mo Hillbro, Mo Yovil, Kai Kai, Ko Virginia, Kanjan. It is actually a problem. And maybe we need to red flag it and say, how are we dealing with it? It's possible that the CGE has done some work on it, I am not sure. But it's something that I think the CGE should actually be dealing with. The obstacles and the role of the church, you know, the church, and I'm not talking about the churches that abuse women and children, but I'm talking about churches that have actually played a role in matters of social justice from the long time, even in the time Yabo SACC, Institute for Contextual Theology, as South African Catholic Bishops Conference, and others. The churches have actually played a very important role, and there are other churches that are not coming into my mind. The church has got a very important role because it deals with a very delicate part of the human's constitution, the spirituality. As Mabhlungu Phakathi, you can't breathe. So the churches actually have got a very big role. The CGE
has got to have that kind of relationship. I don't know if there is, but the CGE should actually be viewing the church as a very critical and strategic stakeholder. So stakeholder relations, Likerek. Yes,
so Mam Story was the last one. Thank you very much, Mam O'Hara, for coming. And you are going to fly late at 9. There. Due to Cape Town traffic. Because from here in Parliament, going to airport, traffic is very bad. So you'll fly very late. So the secretary was informing me now that she was trying to change your flight because you're gonna miss it. Yeah, thank you very much for coming. We wish you good luck. You'll hear from us later on. You see, unfortunately, you are not going to get that time of asking us any question because we gave you time to explain some of the things that were pertinent and were very important for us as members to understand. We took advantage that you've been there, so we wanted to know more, and at least you gave us what we wanted to know more about CGE. But so what is going to happen from here? She's done, eh? And then you'll take her away. Okay, now logistics are going to happen. Because if a person is going to fly at 9 and then it's still early, so maybe you must reconsider the time, 9, and try and find a flight at 10 to 8. That would be much better, or 7, because you can't confirm traffic, Cape Town traffic. May you please deal with it. Yeah, thank you very much, Ma. Fly safe.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and thank you very much to all of you for your insightful questions.
So ni champe u no mason. Okay. So we are going to interview candidate number 37. Mr. Mbuyiselo Albert Botha. Am I right? Sorry? Oh, the problem is the flight. Oh. They say her flight was cancelled, ne? Yeah. So no, she's coming. Yeah. We don't know what time is she gonna arrive. May you please check for us, ne? So that you can know that whether she's gonna be the next candidate or the last candidate. Yeah. Mr. Botha, good afternoon. Afternoon, yeah, because it's past five.
Good afternoon, five. Chair.
Yes, you're welcome, and just relax and be free. Yeah, and make yourself comfortable. Oh, they've given you a bottle of water, I can see.
Thank you, Chair.
If you have a problem with your mic, how must you use the mic? Okay. We are 11 members. And all members are going to ask you questions. Fortunately, you are a current serving commissioner. Or your term is expired.
Yes, it ended December, 31st December.
Oh, okay. But at least it's yesterday. Yeah, so members are free to ask you any question because you've been there. You have 47 minutes with us. In fact, 2 minutes are for interpretation. And then 45 minutes are for us. You've got 3 minutes to answer questions. And you have 2 minutes for members to ask you questions. If you did not understand the question properly, you are free to ask the member to repeat the question. And then, what else? You know, when you are doing this thing for the whole day, yeah, just feel free, relax. Smile with members. You know, mostly we've got only one gentleman. All of them are beautiful ladies. At least that thing will make you happy, you know. My first question will be, tell us about yourself. Where do you come from and where are you going and why do you think you are a suitable candidate to be appointed, to be reappointed as a commissioner? At least I think you know most, according to the Act, how many terms you are eligible to be appointed. Ne? Yeah. So you can...
Well, thank you, Chair. My name is Mbuyiselo Albert Botha. I was born and bred in Sharpeville in the Val Triangle. I have dedicated my life towards working for justice and equality. For many, many years, Chairperson, I have been what one would characterize as a voice in the wilderness, in engaging men and boys. Because, Chair, my belief has always been that when you talk about gender equality, it would be remiss if we do not get men involved, because men are the gatekeepers, men are the beneficiaries of patriarchy and its toxic attendant consequences. And I think that